But why do people not share the gospel? If this is the one thing other than accepting Christ that God has told us to do, why don't we do it? I don't feel comfortable sharing it. Well, again.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism.
And that would be the media. Look at the notes. This can be a powerful and unintimidating way to share the gospel. There is biblical information written on just about every problem both Christians and non-Christians face. When looking for divine opportunities to share the gospel with unbelievers, the Lord may open the door for witnessing through their problems. A wise believer will be familiar with resources by solid Christian authors and speakers. You can find information on addiction, marriage, singleness, sickness, finances, etc. Make sure you pick something that edifies Christ and gives a clear presentation of the gospel. So the biblical example we have of media, and again, it's not media in the sense that we think of it today, but it was media, is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. What was it that led the Ethiopian eunuch that was instrumental in him coming to Christ? It was because he was sitting on a chariot, he had his iPhone out, and he was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Right? No, he didn't have an iPhone. But he was reading. He was reading. And Philip came and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no. And Philip explained it to him and led him to Christ. And that was media. And so media can be a powerful means. CDs, DVDs, books, tracks, whatever the case might be. You know, if you know somebody that's not saved, and they're dealing with something, maybe they're dealing with a financial problem, you can find a little booklet by Dave Ramsey, where he's helping them and he might be talking about finances. But make sure in there somewhere that he says something about Christ. And I think that if you find any author that's dealing with a problem, at some point in time, he's going to talk about Jesus Christ. And so what are you doing? You're doing two things. Number one, you're giving them something that's helping them understand from a biblical perspective what the problem is that they're dealing with. And then secondly, you're giving them, or you're planting a seed and watering a seed as you give them something. It may be finances. I got a little, when I go visit people in the hospital, a little brochure, I guess I call it a pamphlet, that I give to people. And I've given it out here when I preach the message on sickness. But it says how to find victory in the time of sickness. And so a person is laying there in a hospital room and they're sick, and they want to understand some things about their sickness. So a couple of things I talk about is to see what God is doing in this. You know, I believe that everybody that goes to the hospital and everybody gets sick. You know, I mean, if God wanted to stop it, God could have stopped you from getting sick and you wouldn't have got sick. But there must be a reason why you're there. And so you begin to search and you begin to ask questions. I know I did. Lord, why is this happening to me? Lord, why am I going through this? Lord, is there a lesson that you want me to learn? Lord, is there something that you want me to see? And so you begin to challenge people in their time of sickness to think about that. And then it goes through and explains some other things. And then at the end, bingo, it talks about Jesus Christ. Well, again, they might read it. They might not read it. If they read it, it might touch their heart or it might not. But again, boy, I tell you what, this was freeing. And it took stress off of me when I understood that my job is to plant in the water. My job is not to win the soul. I can't win the soul. As a matter of fact, if I won a soul, I wouldn't have a heaven to put them into. I could take you to my house and let you stay in my garage. But, You know, I don't have a heaven for you to get in. That's God's job. You know, God is the one that gives the increase. And we spent at length, we talked at length to that. Now, let me say something about, and I'm a, to me, this is one of the smoothest ways to plant into water, all right? And that is gospel tracts, right? Gospel tracts. Look what the American Tract Society says. 53% of all who come to Christ worldwide come through the use of printed gospel literature. It is a tool that really works. And this is Joey Hancock of the American Tract Society speaking on the importance of tracts. All right, I thank God for, we had Linda Savita's mom, Sister Dorothea Richardson, you know, for years, you know, she made sure that that track rack out there was full. And people came, took them, people were using them, and we've continued on. Linda has continued on to replenish the track rack on a regular basis. So that tells me that people are taking the tracks. Now, again, does that mean because you take a track and you give it to somebody that they're going to get saved? No, absolutely not. But again, you have planted a seed. Now, I've seen tracks. I've been at the health club. And there's been people who have left tracks on the sink, and they have left tracks here and there. And to be honest with you, sometimes, you know, people throw them on the ground. You know, somebody that don't like Christ, or they got a mean, nasty spirit, you know, they ball them up and step on them, whatever the case might be. But, you know, I would have to think. Now, reason with me for one second. I would have to think that at some point, when that person, if they don't get saved, that when they stand before Christ in eternity, if God doesn't bring back that opportunity that they had to get saved. So that's why, you know, I think that, you know, tracts are a powerful medium. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, he says this: when preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a tract ready. Get good striking tracts or none at all. But a touching gospel tract may be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without tracts. So, you know, again, this was the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. And this is what he said about tracts. One of the things that and I shared this last week, and I didn't have all the information that I wanted, but I do have it this week. You know, the Lord laid on my heart to write two tracts. And I wrote these tracts a couple of years ago, and have had the opportunity to use them, and have had questions asked about them. The first one is, what is this man thinking? And I shared this a little bit last week, but I didn't have this other thing up here. So when you open the tract, it says, this statue has been the focus of many lively discussions. Suggestions on what he is thinking range from pondering the mysteries of life to being preoccupied with thoughts on the behavior of a group of ants crawling on the ground in front of him. The statue is entitled The Thinker, and it is a part of a larger work by Auguste Rodin called The Gates of Hell. Even though there is a lot of speculation about what he is contemplating, it is agreed upon by many that he is pondering the torment of lost souls in hell. If this is the object of his meditation, the Bible offers several truths over which he may be brooding. So then in the track, I go on and talk about some of the things he's thinking about, and then talk about, hey, Jesus is the deliverance from these things. So again, great conversation piece. Many people have seen that statue. And I guarantee you that if you ask people, what is that man thinking? They have no idea. But see, now you got an idea of what he's thinking. The second track that I wrote is, have you ever thought about the meaning of life? And I put this track in all my, at the end of all my books that I've written. This track is there. And on the first page, many people ask themselves the question, what is the meaning of life? This thought-provoking question has activated many responses. Here are a few potential answers to this soul-searching question. What is this, you know, what is the meaning of life? Or have you ever thought about the meaning of life? To pursue happiness, to make this world a better place, to seek wisdom and knowledge, to live at peace with self and others, to understand the mysteries of the universe, and to get an education and earn a living. These are all things that people have thought about the meaning of life. And I guarantee you that the person that you give that track to, at some point in their life, they thought about what is the meaning of life. And then we go through the scriptures and we talk about what the Bible says about the meaning of life. And we talk about spiritual life, and we talk about, yeah, you got it, eternal life, eternal life. And so these are, again, non-intimidating ways to be able to share the gospel. If you go to the next slide, please. Why are tracts effective? Many people never go to church or read the Bible. A tract may be the only clear presentation of the gospel they will ever receive. A tract can go anywhere inexpensively. You can carry it in your pocket or your purse, place it in a rack, or send it through the mail. A tract will reinforce your personal witness. Even if you can't follow up, the reader can write to the publisher's address on the back for further help. And some people will not listen to you, but will accept the tract. Many people have been saved through reading and rereading a tract in privacy. So this is why tracts are effective. And then, how do you use tracts? When you give a tract, you are representing the Lord. Here are a few suggestions on how to witness for Jesus Christ with tracts. Now, again, I'm just trying to help you do what God said you're supposed to be doing. You know, that somebody said, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, you know, you don't have to have the gift of evangelism. We've all been called to evangelize. Just think if the disciples just said, well, you know, I got the gift of exhortation. You know, I got the gift of teaching. And would they have turned the world upside down? They wouldn't have turned the world upside down. But they did what God called them to do, and that was evangelize. And so how do you go with tracts? You go prayerfully, ask the Lord to give you a love for Christ and a genuine concern for those you will meet. Pray that the Holy Spirit will through the tracts, give you open hearts and minds to the gospel. Practically, be sensitive to the needs and interests of those around you, and be equipped to use tracts when it is appropriate. Pleasantly, it costs so little to smile, but a smile goes so far. If a person refuses a tract or wants to argue, be pleasant. Don't argue. Plentifully, tracts cost so little that you could afford to give them freely. Certainly, some people will throw them away. And don't get discouraged. You know, I think I'm going to get to the second part of this, and it's going to be real quick. Don't get discouraged if somebody throws it away. You know, again, you did what God has told you to do. People turn off the radio. I remember when we used to go with Brother Mac in the neighborhood evangelizing. Man, people be on their front porch barbecuing, and they see you coming down, and man, by the time you got to their house, there was nobody on the porch. Barbecue burning and everything. Right? So, you know, everybody's not going to be friendly. Everybody, but you know, I'm just doing what God asked me to do. Be persistent and trust the Lord to bring forth fruit. Prospectively, tracts open the door to further witness. But if you have an opportunity to share your faith, don't give a tract as an excuse. No, oh, wow. Oh, wow. If you have the opportunity, you don't say, well, Lord, I gave him a tract. You know, maybe God was calling you to be a little bit more involved and say a little bit more. So that's that. That's that. And I'm going to hit this real quick. Why do people not share the gospel? Now, other than the shock method, everything that I gave you, I would say, I don't see why anybody couldn't do that. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. I don't see why anybody couldn't do what I shared, other than the shock method. And I realize that's a little aggressive, and that's in some people's person. You know, John the Baptist was one. You know, he got on people's face, right? You know, John the Baptist got up to Herod and he said, man, you shouldn't have your brother's wife. You know, so he was bold. He went up and pointed his finger in the king's face. All right. But why do people not share the gospel? If this is the one thing other than accepting Christ that God has told us to do, why don't we do it? I don't feel comfortable sharing it. Well, again, I just gave you some ways that you don't have to feel comfortable at all. You know, this is just very non-intimidating ways. Here goes one right here. I don't want to offend others or drive them away or make our relationship uncomfortable. Okay? Well, you know, again, let me say this. That, you know, you don't need to be a maniac on your job, you know, witnessing to everybody and witnessing when you're supposed to be working. All right? So you need to be sensitive. You need to be prayerful. But again, in the end, when this person, if they don't come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you had a relationship with them, if you never invited them into your home, you know, for a little fellowship and to share your testimony, if you never invited them to church where they could hear the gospel preached and then follow up with some questions, then, you know, how uncomfortable is it going to be for them for eternity when they spend eternity separated from God? I'm not gifted in this area. There are others who are more gifted. I don't want to force my faith on others. You know, again, you know, we're not talking about forcing your faith. We're just talking about sharing the gospel. All right. If you go to the next one, and I'm going to finish with this. What are some hindrances to evangelism? The first one is ignorance. All right. People say, well, I don't know how to do it. Well, all of you sitting here today, you can't use this anymore, especially if you've been here for this series. Because I've taken you from A to Z. You know, I felt very strongly this year about the members knowing how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what we're all about. As I said in the first week, if we take out the gospel, then we're just a club. We come, we pay our dues, we fellowship a little bit, and then we go home. That's not what the church is. The church, the heart of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the members of the church have to have the passion for the gospel, to take the gospel forth. And so ignorance is not an excuse. You know, I remember when I bought my car, right? And every winter, like three winters in a row, I would go out in my car and start it up. So it would be warm. I had to go out there in the cold, and I had to go out there in the snow, chip off ice, sometimes shovel to get to the car, right? And start it up. Now, let me say this. Now, it's illegal, I found out, to leave your car running in your driveway with the door open. All right, so if you do that, make sure you lock your door, but don't lock yourself out. All right, so three winters, I'm dealing with this. In the cold, in the freezing snow and ice. And my brother Gary, he was looking for a car. And he said, hey man, can you take me around? It was in the summertime. He said, I want to look for a car. So we go to the car place, and this guy is showing my brother the cars, right? And he's showing them all the features. And the car is sitting right out front of the dealership. And the guy says, look, you can do all these things right here, sitting right here on the car. He said, you can even start it up. And he hit the button, and the car started up. And I said, man, I got one of them things. I said, man, I got one of them things on my key. Let me see if it works. Boom, boom. I said, three winters. I went out there and fought the ice and the snow, and all I had to do was stand in my living room and choo-choo-choo-choo. ignorance when it comes to sharing the gospel. Ignorance is no excuse. You know, God is not going to say, Well, hey, look, I didn't know you didn't have the thing. You didn't know you had that thing on your kid. You know? I mean, that don't make up for all them winners. Ignorance is no excuse. Fear. Some people are fearful of sharing the gospel. In the notes, what are some things that people fear? The fear of doing it the right way. Fear of being ridiculed. Fear of offending the unbeliever. We got to overcome those fears. Indifferences or indifference. You know, some people just don't care. They have a nonchalant attitude. The fact that you've been snatched and saved from the fires of hell, there should be a fire in your heart to see others come to make a decision that you made. Sin. A lot of people are in sin. And because they're in sin, that's holding them back from evangelizing. And then discouragement. Some people have tried to share their faith in the past and have been met with opposition, and they've gotten discouraged and they've given up. So as we look at today, there's models. We'll go back to last week. We talked about at length, how do you share the gospel? How do you share the gospel? All right. So as I close today, one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump. And, you know, there's a lot of memorable sayings and scenes in Forrest Gump. But the one that kind of sticks out to me is when they were in Vietnam and the artillery was flying and they were dropping bombs, and Forrest made it to the beach. And when he got to the beach, his friend, Bubba, was not there. I don't know if you remember this. Forrest went back to get Bubba. He said, I got to find Bubba. I got to get Bubba. And as he went back, somebody grabbed him by the leg. And it was another soldier. And he said, help me. Help me. And Forrest picked him up. And he took him back to the beach where at that time it was safe. He ran again looking for Bubba. And somebody else, he saw somebody, he picked them up and took them back. And there was three guys that he picked up and took back to the beach. And one of the guys was Lieutenant Dan. And Lieutenant Dan said, Gump, leave me here. I want to die. And Forrest said, I can't leave you, Lieutenant Dan. He picked up Lieutenant Dan and took Lieutenant Dan back. But one thing Forrest said, I got to find Bubba. I got to get Bubba. And Forrest went, bombs dropping, artillery flying, and he went back, and he got Bubba, and he brought him to the beach. And I look at that and say that, you know, we live in a world where we come to church, and we sit on this nice beach, and we wear our nice clothes, and we sing our nice songs, and we pray our nice prayers, and we hear a nice word on the beach, on the beach, right? And there's a world out there where artillery is flying, where bombs are dropping, where the enemy is attacking and destroying lives. And we come and we have to make a decision. Are we going to stay on the beach, or are we going to go get Bubba? What are you going to do today? Are you going to stay on the beach? Or are you going to go get Bubba?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. This concludes our series titled Rekindling the Fire of Evangelism. So join us next time for the first half of How to Find Contentment in This Life. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Models of Evangelism, Hindrances to Evangelism. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.